Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do.
Tune into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. And I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, hallelujah, and bring in a divine word of God and word of truth straight out of the mouth of God. I just thank those of you that continually to make the Old Ship of Zion a part of your listening program and a part of your podcast archive. And we just thank you for whatever you render unto God. Rest assured that God is going to bless you back. Hallelujah. May it be in your time or your talent. God is truly going to bless you. He knows your name. He knows your DOB. He knows your address, your zip code, your city and state. So God will not get it twisted, but God will get your blessing, and it will make its way to the right recipient. So I just thank you for allowing me into your workspace. Thank you for allowing me into your living room area. And then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. Hallelujah. And so I just want to thank all of you that continue to patronize this program. This is a church service, though. This is not just a program, but this is a live church service. So this is the same as you would get in your automobile and you would drive to your designated place of worship. This is what this is. This is a church service, and it is live. Every program that I bring across is a live program. And so I just want to thank you once again. I want to welcome you, my guests. I want to welcome my friends. I want to welcome my colleagues, my business partners. I want to welcome my kinship family, and I also want to welcome my kingdom family. And all of you first-time listeners, I just want you just to come in. I have the chat room available for your listening and sitting pleasure. So may God bless you. And so I want to come to the podium, and I want to just send out condolences to those of you that has lost a loved one, may it be your grandparent, may it be a niece or nephew, may it be a sister or brother, may it be a best friend, may it be your health provider, your nurse, your practitioner, whatever the case might be. We just want you to know that in your hour of bereavement that you are not alone and that you have prayer warriors that's praying around the world and around the clock, 24/7, praying for you, you and you, that God will heal you whatever pain is wrecking through your body right now. Doesn't matter the pink slip that you have gotten from your physician saying that you have a terminal illness, but we know that God is a healer. Because God is our great physician. He's the greatest physician there ever has been and there ever shall be. So just know whatever you're going through, you're not alone. We stand with you. We weep with you and we rejoice with you as well. So I just wanted to send those condolences out to those of you that has lost a loved one. May it have been in the last 72 hours. may have been in the last 48 hours, may have been the last 24 hours, may have been the last 12 hours, 8 hours, 5 hours, 30 minutes ago, even seconds ago. We just want you to know that we are with you. We stand with you. Together we stand, and divided we fall. So I just want you to be encouraged, and we pray that God will restore, hallelujah, joy and restoration back unto your heart and soul. All right, now we're going to go into our opening prayer. I want to introduce the song and present to others a holy deity. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Hallelujah. And his identity is Jesus Christ. He's a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. But he's no longer in a manger. He's no longer in the grave. But he is sitting right now up in his holy dominion. Not on the left, not in the rear, but he's sitting on the right-hand side of his Father. Hallelujah. So I'm just asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we acknowledge our Lord and our King. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together in unity, God, once again, around this spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on is not our eternal destination. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we will continue to mount up, hallelujah, from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims, hallelujah, traveling through this barren land. Hallelujah. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that are hurting, God, those that may or may not know of you. Hallelujah. In the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every individual, God, under the sound of my vocal cord. Father God, that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise. We won't take your glory. But we'll give you all the praise and glory that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we shall allow the temple of God and his people to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I'm scheduled to be with you. I'm bumping it up to 90 minutes. I had 60 minutes, but I'm going to allow a little bit for the old hymns of Zion. That's a two-part service. We have a sermon part of the program, and then we have our hymns of Zion, which is the second phase of our program. And so you will be prompt if you have any prepositions that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree with you, prepositions that you have at the feet of God. You're welcome to do so at the prompt. I will prompt you which to call in. I'll say the lines are now open. You can call in for your prepositions. And if you have any miracles that God has performed in your life, you would want to share, hallelujah, live with the world, you're welcome to do so. And just note that all calls are being monitored. So without any further ado, we're going to take you right now on into a live program that's already in progression. And I'm going to turn, I hope and pray, I'm going to turn my volume down just a little bit. Excuse me momentarily. All right, so now, our sermon on this morning, entitled, Virus contaminated of the mind. I want to read that one more time. A sermon for this morning entitled Virus Contamination of the Mind. And we're going to read our first key scripture, and it reads this. It says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Hallelujah. And we're talking about a spiritual mind contamination. We are talking about satanic forces that take over the mind, causes us to do things that we normally, under normal circumstances, sane circumstances, we would not do. That's what we're talking about. But we're talking about how we can confess our sins to God, put our worries at Jesus' feet. We shall have trials and tribulations while we're on this earth, but in Jesus we shall have peace. We know that satanic forces are real. They are alive and well in this 2017 century in which you and I and us live. Hallelujah. You know, some days my computer helped me fly like an eagle. Other times it bogged me down like a hippopotamus. On my eagle days, I'm grateful for my computer. But there are those hippo days when I rue the day that I bought one. Recently, I had to contend with a virus that invaded my computer. What bothered me most is that the virus are created maliciously. We know that bright people who live with a darkness in their lives, they want to make other people miserable. We know that sin resembles a computer virus. Satan wants to destroy our Christians by infecting yours and mine and our minds. But we know that the Apostle Paul urges the believers at Corinth to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That scripture reading once again, coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. And you know that just as we let a virus into our computers, we also let darkness into our lives. When we open ourselves unthinkingly to the godless message that I can't even get the word out. My tongue is trying to tie up, but I bind you in the name of Jesus. That permeate our cultures. We let down our guards and hardly notice the sin that infects our mind. But by confessing our sins, we can read God's word, prayer and supplication. We build a firewall. We build a barrier. We even build a safeguard of our minds. And with the help of the Spirit, you and I and us will keep our minds from becoming unwitting hosts for contaminated gas. And we can pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, hallelujah. I'm often careless with what I allow to enter my mind. But by your Spirit, please help me, I and us, to guide mine, yours, and our mind today. By your grace, keep me and us from situations that wage war on our thoughts. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you are encouraged to guard your thoughts as you would guard your wallet. You know, we know that in this time in which we live, we know that Satan, he's moving to and fro, the Bible says. That he's roaming, he's going up and down. He just has a small amount of space. He's limited with how he can roam to and forth, back and forth, because that's where he's going. If you read the word of God, the Bible says he's going to and forth. So to and forth, meaning going up and down, just like a corridor in a hallway of a hospital wing. You know, there are many corridors in which to exit. And so when a man's wife is about to give birth, a lot of times, if that's their first child, their first baby being born, well, you know, he's nervous. And he's waiting in anticipation, hallelujah, for the nurse to let him know what he has been blessed with, either son or daughter or twins or quadruplets or triplets or, you know, just whatever God has bestowed upon him and his wife. But he's waiting the good news of what he has been blessed with, may it be in a son, or sons, or daughter, or daughters. So that means one or many. But he is walking up and down the corridors of that hospital wing. That's the same way Satan is doing in today's world. He's walking to and fro, seeing who he may devour. And so he don't have to have any, you don't have to be smart, you don't have to be a genius to fall into that virus contamination of the mind. You don't have to be a scholar, but you can just be an individual, may it be male or female. The devil, M.O., is to steal what? Steal your mind. Contaminate your mind with negative thoughts, deadly thoughts. See, the devil cannot do any more than you and I and us allow him to do. Because my Bible tells me, hallelujah, that you got power to tell that devil to get the moving. You bind him, get behind you, you open up your window, let down the window of your car if you're traveling, open up the door of your house, and just tell him to scat. Tell him that he's no longer going to rule and have dominion over your life. Because God, hallelujah, wants you to be a workman in his vineyard. But we know that the devil, on the other hand, wants you in his playground to contaminate your mind, hallelujah, with ungodly thoughts that you wouldn't normally be thinking about, doing harm to those that you love. May it be your wife. May it be your loved one. I mean, may it be your wife. May it be your niece. May it be your brother, your uncle. May it be a friend, a business colleague. You know, the devil is sending folks out on their workplaces, and he committing murder at the workplace. The devil is contaminating the mind that he's telling the individual to take a gun and put it upside his head and shoot his brains out. That is not of God. That is a satanic force. That is a satanic force of that viral contamination of the mind. Hallelujah. But God tell us that you can have the mind of God. He says that that same mind, hallelujah, that's in me, ye shall have also. So when you change your mindset and turn your life over to God, God will give you a mind renewing. The things, hallelujah, that you used to think about, you don't think about those things anymore. Places that you used to go, you don't have a mindset to go to those places anymore. You said, why, Overseer Roy? Is because God has come into your heart, into your mind, and he's made all things new. Behold, all things has passed away, and behold, all things has become new. See, the Bible knows, hallelujah, that we're going through trials and tribulations down here on earth. But what you and I and us are to do, we are not to try to take these things on alone. But we are to consult God, put God in every area of mine, yours, and our lives. We don't exclude God, but we include God. Because God is going to always show up, and God is going to stir us in the direction that he would have us to go, versus us taking it on ourselves and say, I can handle it. I'm a big boy. I'm a big girl. I can do this my own Jesus. See, the enemy, he comes as a thief and a robber. He want to rob you of your livelihood. He want to uproot you from your home, from your marriage, from your good-paying job. The devil wants to uproot you. Contamination of the mind. Hallelujah. And we know that one of the most difficult inner conflict that you and I have is our desire, hallelujah, of being known versus our fear of being known. And as being created in the image of God, you and I and us, we are made to be known by God and also by others. Yet due to our fallen nature, all of us have sin and weaknesses that we don't want others to know about. Talking about that dark side. I'm talking about that contamination of the mind. We use the phrase dark side to refer to aspects of our lives that keep hitting. We keep hitting. And we urge, we use the slogan as put your best foot forward to encourage others to show their best side. And I know that one reason you and I and us we're unwilling to risk being known is that we fear rejection and ridicule. But when you and I and us, when we discover that God knows us, God loves you and I and us, he is willing to forgive even the worst things we have done. We know that, hallelujah, when we come out of sin and we're separated, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Because we know that when we accept God in our lives, we are new creatures. All things has passed away, and behold, all things has become new. And our fear of being known by God began to fade away. When you and I and us, we find a community of believers who understand the dynamics relationship between forgiveness and confession, we feel safe confessing our sin to one another. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of James 5 and 16. We know that the life of faith, not about showing only our good side, it's about exposing our dark side to the light of Christ through confession to God and also to others. In this way, we can receive healing and live in the freedom of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. You can ask God to help you expose of your sins. Those secret wrongs that lurk within, you confess them all to thee. Transparent. Hallelujah. They would always be. There is a voice of sin. Maybe loud. But the voice of forgiveness is louder.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that it is some of us that don't seem to understand that God alone provides the ultimate security. The world is not made safe by military tactics, but by the slaying hands, hallelujah, of an omnipotent God. We would do well to remember this even in our own lives. We are daily reminded that we are engaged in warfare. Our lives, hallelujah, are constantly in danger. We know that the electronic and print media speed, hallelujah, the electronic and print media spend an inordinate amount of time and money informing you and us of escalating chaos and violence in our communities and around the world. The tension and travail that threatens to engulf you and us are prompting people to purchase all kinds of security devices and weapons. But the warfare that you and us engage in is not only from without, but also from within. Inside the spirit, Paul reminds you and us as Christians that the weapons of the world are second best compared with the transcendent equipment offered by God. Not by yours and mine and our might, not by power, but by spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Zechariah 4 and 6. We know that our best defense is not military hardware, but a different set of weapons. The Apostle Paul reminds you and us that our weapons are mighty through God. When we stand therefore, having our lives girded about us with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. For we know that the devil is real. He's strong, but we know that the power of God is stronger. And we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 6 and 14 through 18. We know that Jesus' weapons may seem old-fashioned in this day's world, but they are weapons that can subdue kingdoms. They can restore relationships, and they can pull down strong hopes and defeat the devil. Because, you know, you cannot take on Satan by yourself. You have to have, hallelujah, you have to have the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is a power source, power surge, hallelujah, that can move any demon, hallelujah, out of your surrounding, hallelujah, surfaces, your comfort zone. You can bind those demons and tell them to flee. Those that are contaminating your mind, tell them that leave you alone and you are no longer, hallelujah, slaves to the devil, but you are slave to God, hallelujah, and his kingdom, hallelujah. I told you so much going on into this world that you can't even keep up. I'll tell you, it's chaos over here, it's chaos over there, it's chaos across town, it's chaos across the street, chaos next door, chaos across the bridge, chaos across the city, chaos across the state, chaos in the air, chaos on the ground, chaos in your home, chaos in my home, chaos in hotels, chaos in airplane, chaos in hospital wings. There seem to be no rest for the weary. But I'm here to encourage your heart that you can find rest for your weary soul. Hallelujah. By making Jesus your choice. You can make Jesus your choice on this morning. You can tell God, Lord, I am coming to you. And I'm acknowledging to you that I am a sinner. And that I'm tired of the devil having dominion over my mind, over my life, over my family, over my children, over my friends, over those that are near and dear unto my heart. And Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life, remove all the sins that I have committed before thee. And I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Live inside of my heart. And it is so. God will take your former sins, put them in the sea of forgetfulness, and to remember them anymore. We know that God is not so powerless that my worries would help the well-beings of our parish. Hallelujah. But there comes a moment each day when you and I and us must simply drop what waits on you and I and us and hand it over to God. One evening, Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Red Sea of Galilee. They were weary after a long day of ministry. Jesus fell asleep in the stern of the boat. Then a fierce gale suddenly arose, so fierce that even the large fishermen turned disciples were terrified. But Jesus continued to sleep, similarly until his frightened followers woke him, crying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Mark 4:38. You see, Jesus was in the habit of entrusting himself to his heavenly Father. And having made that commitment, he could sleep through the turbulent quail. So I'm encouraging you, when worry began to nag at your mind, let's surrender them to the Lord and not take them back again and again. That's the secret of soul serenity. When you and I and us, when we're on life's storm-tossed sea, hallelujah, we can drop that weight. You can drop it. You can drop it down, what the old saying said, down by the riverside. And you can give it to God. Don't try to carry that load because it's too heavy for you. Let Jesus carry the weight of your circumstances, the weight of your trials and tribulations. When the enemy comes and he whispers in your ear, contaminating your mind, you know you are not sane when the devil tells you to take a weapon and put it upside of your head and blow your brains out. You didn't make yourself, therefore you don't have the authority to your life. You didn't even give yourself life. And you do not have the authority to take your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. The devil tell you to take your little innocent child and kill that child. That child hasn't done anything to anybody. The child doesn't even know he's hardly or she's hardly in the world. But I'm talking about that virus of contamination to your mind. The devil influenced you to take your own child's life. the devil influenced you to kill your mother. Go in there and hit your mother with a hammer. Go and stab your mother 50 times. That's the love of God. I'm here to tell you that's further from the that's just farther from the lie, from the pit of hell, as I ever have heard. God shall come that you might have life, not death, but I come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. So whenever the devil whisper viruses of contamination to your mind, you bind him. You open up your car door, you let down your car window, you open up your house door, your house window, and you command him to flee. Because the Bible says that you have power over the devil. You have power, hallelujah, to tell him to get to moving. And he got to move. You tell him with authority and power invested in you, that God has enabled you to possess. God said you can lay hands on the sick. So God said you can cast out demons. You can raise the dead. So if God give you those kind of capabilities, you got power to command that demon to flee your mind. Flee yourself. Free yourself. Hallelujah. Bye. Hallelujah. Announcing to God that you no longer want to be a slave to Satan, but you want to be a slave to God. Because only what you and I and us do for Christ is going to amount to anything. Doesn't matter, hallelujah, I guess you could say, your accolades that you have laid up here on earth. Hallelujah. May it be your name up in light. May it be a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. May it be that you are known as the richest individual on planet earth. May it be, hallelujah, that you feel like you got everything at your disposal and you don't need God. You said, I got all the money I'll ever need. Who needs God? But I'm here to tell you that one day your soul will be required of thee. Just as God told the rich man, this night thy soul is required of thee. And the Bible says that the rich man died. And in hell, so the Bible says, what does it profit a man, a woman, to gain the whole wide world and yet lose your soul? With all your money, with all your fortune and fame, go up in smoke and you die and go to hell. And on that great judgment day, God will call all of those that are dead to rise. But those that are in Christ is going to rise first. You stand before the judgment seat of God. And God opened up those books. He said he's going to open up those books. And there's going to be a book, the 66 books of your life. And it's going to be read aloud for the whole world to see. God will say, good, my faithful servant. Good, my good and faithful. My good and faithful servant. Welcome, my good and faithful servant. Or he might, I know the second words that he will say will be, depart from me because I never knew you. That means that you turned your back on God. And the judgment seat of God will be too late to say, Lord, I'm sorry. It'll be too late to say, God, forgive me of my sins. Because God has given you ample time right here on planet Earth to choose which way you want to go. God, give us a choice. But we have to make a wise decision on our lives. Because it behooves us to make a wise choice. Because if we make the wrong choice, then it will end results for you and I and us would be hell and damnation. And you might say, Overseer Ward, I'll be dead and I won't even know that I'm in hell. But I won't set the record straight. You will not be dead, but you will be alive. And you will know that that fire is burning your very soul. And it's not going to be put out. God is not going to allow any firemen, anyone to put that fire of flames out. But you will burn forever and ever. You will be alive. See, people give the wrong misconception and they tell you that you're going to be dead when you go to hell, but you're not going to be dead. Because, like I said, those that die in Christ, so all the individuals that's dead in Christ, my loved ones, your loved ones, you don't have any loved ones, then loved ones are someone that you know. Those that died in Christ is going to rise first. And then those that died in sin is going to come up next. And when you are red, when your life is red before the whole wide world, and God tell you, either welcome, my good and faithful servant, or he will tell you, depart from me. Your work was of iniquity. I never knew you. Then that means that you will have no part of spending eternity with God. But your part will be in the lake of fire and brimstone. The Bible says they will be gnashing of teeth. I know that will be mourning and growling and gnashing of teeth is what the word of God says. So you will be well alive and well aware that you are in hell. You declined God's offering to serve God, but you chose to serve the devil instead. So I'm encouraging you on this morning. Don't allow the enemy to send a virus of contamination of your mind. Hallelujah. But you can accept God as your personal Savior. Hallelujah. To live in your heart. And he will only reside in a holy and clean heart. He shall not and will not live in a contaminated heart. So if I was you today, I would accept Jesus wherever I were. May it be you lying, a stooping, a sitting, a squatting, a kneeling. I would ask God to forgive me for all of my sins. And I will accept him as my Lord and Savior to live and reside inside of my heart. Find you a good church home that are teaching the biblicals and precepts of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not adding and not taking away, but giving unto his sheep the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. And then start attending a Bible class. Get to know God and get to know his word. Get to know how to live a life of Christ. Hallelujah, because Jesus loved you. I want you to know that Jesus loved you. He died out on Calvary Mountain over 2,000 light years ago to prove his love for you and I and us. Hallelujah. So don't allow the enemy to contaminate your mind. But you can resist the devil and he will flee. That's what the word of God tells us in the law of James 4:7. And that's mere superstition, of course. Then to feel like that you don't have power, that you don't have the capabilities. You say, well, I'm too weak. I don't have enough strength. But see, you can ask God to give you some strength. God will give you strength. Able you, hallelujah, with power from on high. And you can shoot a devil, and he shall flee. See, we know that Satan's schemes always began with a lie, with a false lead, a subtle twist of the truth, which if acted upon, will tear you and I and us away from God. His proposal rarely seems evil because our minds are repelled by obvious evil. More often they come disguised as good. Then Satan adds a trace of grace and beauty to every lure. Hallelujah. Lest we recognize its deadly nature. It's easy to be taken in, but the Bible tells us that we can resist the devil and he will flee from you and I and us. Hallelujah. We know that we can counter Satan's lies with the truth. When they first enter your mind, meet them immediately with the word from God and banish him as you would shoo away a pushy salesman. Before he get a foot in your door, call to mind a verse or portion of scripture that speaks to the particular lie Satan is trying to sell you, and submit yourself to that truth. That's the way to make the devil run. Hallelujah, because we know that Satan can catch you by surprise, but he'll stop you in your tracks. So keep on God and trust God's word. Resist his strong attacks. When Satan strikes, you strike back with the word of God. You have 66 books and wish to fight it. That Satan and his baby kids, I call them his little imps. Excuse me. You can shoo the devil and he will flee. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us, you say everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Malachi 2:17. We know that an illusion, according to the dictionary, is an erroneous perception of reality. We know that a sleight of the hand artist uses it to do the impossible. We find out that most illusions are harmless, but some can be fatal. In a desert chasing a mirage that looks like water can lead to death. But the most dangerous illusion are the spirit and moral ones that people are prone to believe. In Malachi 2, the Israelites were breaking their marriage vows. They knew that God hates divorces, yet they were saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Doesn't that sound like you and us today, in our today's world, in our today's culture? People believe that things like abortion and extramarital sex and divorce for other than biblical reasons are morally right. Even some Christians believe in such illusions. But it is crucial that you and I and us, that we allow the Bible to be the standard by which we distinguish reality from illusion. The word of God declares what's right, pleasing in his sight. It also shows that deep within, what we call good might be sin. One of life's greatest illusions is that sin has no consequences. Hallelujah. So in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been, hallelujah, produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program and church live digital service has been the old ship of Zion. Hallelujah. So you can send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. You can log on to our web address, www.janicewardministries.org. You can also, you can log on to Twitter and Instagrams and also Facebook. So, till we meet again, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now turn you over to Hymns of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we meet again, you buckle up with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he is people friendly. Go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Bye for now.
Many times Jesus.